Welcome to Business and Money Mentors. Together, Mia, your business mentor, and Bonnie, Miss Money Boss, guide you on the need to knows to grow and manage your business successfully.
Welcome, welcome. This is Mia and
Bonnie.
Yay, Bonnie. Today you are going to share with us, we'll check in with everybody in a minute, but you're going to share with us some amazing ways to stop identity theft, which is so prevalent in business and our finances. But guess what today is? What is today, Bonnie?
We just It's Valentine's Day, and that's my favorite day because I love, love. Don't you, Mia?
I do. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day to share with friends and loved ones. It's really beautiful. It is.
Exactly. Wonderful. And we all love our money too, don't we?
We do. That's right. It doesn't have to just be about a partner. It can be about your business. It can be about your money. It can be about your body. It can be about one of the most amazing things that you're creating in your life. Celebrate that too. Not everybody has a partner right now, and it's okay. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. And you know what? And if you don't have a partner, you can be your own partner. So
yes.
Self-love is a good thing. Self-pleasure is a good thing. And I know that we're talking about off topic, but we are going to get back to the money and business, I promise.
Well, what is more sexy than having a beautifully developed bank account, right?
Exactly. Oh, my God. And we love to have beautifully developed bank accounts. That's for sure. So one of the things that we're going to be talking about is how to avoid fraud and identity theft, you know, in regards to loving your money and loving your bank account, because fraud is extremely prevalent today. Mia, did you know that fraud is responsible for about $6 billion a year just in the United States alone?
That's crazy. No, but we all have it on us, whether we realize it or not. It's not until we go somewhere. For example, me last year going into the hospital, the doctor said, or not the doctor, the admission said, "Hey, don't you live over on Slauson? You owe us a lot of money." And I said, "No, I've never lived over there." And
oh, my God.
We have your social security number. That happened at two different hospitals to me last year when I was dealing with something. Isn't that crazy? So that shows you that it can happen so easily. We've all had it.
Exactly. And, you know, here's the thing. You don't have to be a business owner. You can be an individual. And every single person is susceptible to fraud. If you have a bank account, an investment account, a credit line, a credit card, or any type of account where money flows in or out of, you are a potential victim of fraud. So that's why we're going to be talking about this, and it's a really important topic. I actually had a couple of experiences with fraud, one where I actually saved the company and myself from being defrauded for $165,000 a few years ago.
Wow.
So we're going to talk about that and kind of like how it happened and what are the things that they do and what can you do to avoid this. So you want me to tell you the story?
Yes, please. Jump right in, Missy.
Okay. So a few years ago, I'm somebody who kind of checks my bank accounts regularly online, and that's actually one of the tips that I'm going to give you later on is so that you understand what's happening in your bank account. I think it's really important to check your bank accounts and your credit cards accounts online every day to watch the transactions that are going in and out of it so that you make sure that anything that's coming in is money you're supposed to be getting and anything that's going out is money that you have authorized to go out. So I was one morning, woke up like every normal day and went in and saw $161,000, and then there was some change along with it. It was like a weird number. All of a sudden deposited into my account. I've never ever had a deposit that big in one transaction ever go into my business account. So I was like, what the heck? And it came from a company that I didn't know. interestingly enough, simultaneously, when I went to look at my email, there was an email from somebody letting me know that looked like it came from that company that deposited the money into my account that said, we transferred the money to the wrong person accidentally. You know, could you please correct this by forwarding the money to this bank account, this information? And they gave me all of the information I would need to be able to send the money there. And I was like, wait a minute. So the first thing I did is I called the company and asked to speak to the person in accounts payable, because that's the person who would have probably wired me the money. And when I talked to him, he said, yeah, my boss sent me an email telling me to have to wire you the money. And I said, really, what was it for? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, then I want you to go back to your boss and ask. And I was literally diligent and persistent. And what happened at the end of this is that they realized that the boss's account was hacked, his email account, which sent the email to his employee to send to wire me this money. So this is a pretty intricate thing that's going on now, right?
That is.
And then, after getting in touch with the boss, the FBI got pulled into it. And what ended up happening is I ended up wiring the money back to the originator of who sent it to me. Had I sent it off to the people that I got the email from, I would have been liable for all of that money from the company. So that's huge. I mean, that is a big one.
That's very huge. That is huge.
So when I was talking to the FBI, what they told me is, of all the cases where fraud happens, this is the only one where it actually didn't get to go through. And so the reason that they interviewed me is because they wanted to know what I was doing, how I handled this, so that this fraud was avoided. And when I learned about the situation, I was like, oh my God. Since that time, I've had lots of fraud charges on my credit card, and which I've always gotten reversed because I am diligent about looking at the transactions every day. I have also had fraud from checks. So I just want to explain that this is another way that that your bank account can be defrauded. So basically what happens is they kind of create the same check that you have with all your routing numbers and your bank account numbers so that it looks like a check coming from your bank account. And it's really not. However, then they take that check into the bank as if you wrote them a check, and they go in and they cash it at your bank.
Wow.
Okay, and that...
That's sneaky.
Yep, and I've had that happen with clients of mine where we're talking about checks of like $6,000, $10,000, specific amounts of money, and they're usually flat numbers, just like a whole number. They don't usually have like dollars and cents. So I have seen that too. So basically, from my accounting practice, I've kind of seen it all. And what is important is that you understand that this is an awareness. It can happen to everybody. And here are things that you can do to protect yourself. So the number one thing is you need to check your accounts every day. You need to have online access so that you can see what's going on in your accounts. The second thing you can do is, if you are working with a bank where you know a banker, you can ask that anybody who comes to cash a check on your account, that they call you to make sure that the check is valid. The reason for that is because most people who are not doing fraudulent things don't deposit your check into their bank accounts, right?
Because then
it would be able to be traced. So what they're doing is they're going into your bank and cashing it so that it never hits another bank account. If you're getting a phone call, you're going to know whether you wrote that check or not. So you're going to be able to avoid the fraud by answering the phone. And, and then the bank is also safe because then they don't have to worry about things on their end. When it comes to credit card transactions, if you see anything, or even a debit card, Okay, so this applies to both. You need to call the banking agency immediately. So for debit cards, depending on the bank that you're with, they will not always reverse the transaction. So it is really important that you stay on top of things, because the truth is, if you think about it like that, the more ignorant you remain, the more money you can lose. Because it can be an ongoing process if you're not getting a new card because there's a problem and you're not recognizing it. For credit cards and other debit cards, they will reverse the transaction, and that will be taken care of. So, like I said, the first thing to do is monitor your accounts. The second thing that you can do is you need to make sure that you are protecting your identity. And so you can call the credit agencies, the three credit agencies, and you can make sure that you lock your credit so that if somebody applies for a credit card or any type of debt service in your, with your Social Security number, that that account is locked, and it has to be unlocked before they can get any information. So they basically won't have access to even get credit cards in your name or get anything in your name if you have your credit locked. The other thing that's good to have is a company like LifeLock. What that is that they monitor your credit, and they also monitor your name and give you information on anybody that is trying to apply for anything under your name or Social Security number. So these are things that you can do to protect yourself. Awareness is empowerment. You know, being proactive is empowering yourself. If you're going to be reactive, you're going to get burned.
Great point. I'm here. It's a great. Well, you're on a roll, baby. So I'm like taking notes here too, because this is great stuff. Now, this LifeLock is something that's very important. I told somebody about it yesterday, but I didn't have the exact words for it or the name for it. So I'm like, I'll tell you after I ask Bonnie. yeah, it was crazy. I was with someone. They were applying for something, it was actually my son, and it turned out that he couldn't open a bank account. He's of age. He couldn't open a bank account because apparently he owed a bank $500. So when he called the credit bureaus to check on it, it also showed that he had taken out a loan on a house last year. Yeah. It's really important for young people, especially, who know nothing, because they're preyed upon just as much as everyone else, because their credit is new and fresh, and somebody can get in there and they can create whatever they want, without a younger person paying attention. They're usually still in college doing their own things until they're in their mid-20s. So it's really important to be on top of this. And if you're a parent, be on top of it with your kids, because it doesn't matter how old they are, send them a little bit of parenting, because it's very important to keep your stuff clean. We live in a money world, and so everything evolves around money. We have to have it flowing, right? So exactly. We really do have to take care of this. You know, here's another interesting thing. We all went on this huge, crazy thing when the internet first came out, and everything erupted like 15, 20 years ago, where we were shredding every piece of paper, because people were going through trash cans. Well, they still do to get your information, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Isn't that another tip, Bonnie, we should express?
Yes.
Make sure you shred your stuff, because
absolutely.
I've had that done to me, where somebody went through my trash cans. This was, 20 years ago. And bam, all of a sudden there was bills coming to my address, which was strange that they hadn't come to my address, but I was able to see why, you know, it was happening, because I realized, dang, they must have gone through my trash. So just be very aware.
Times what will happen is, no, so it's not odd that went to your address, okay? So I want to tell you why, because when they apply for the credit cards, what happens is they apply, and then they usually will go to the address, like basically they watch you. So they know when you're home, when you're not home, and basically they go and literally will get the credit card out of your mailbox, And then sometimes they will wait like a month or two. So they'll go in and they'll get the bills for a month or two. And then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. 3 months later, the bills will show up. But by that time, they've already charged, they've already maxed out the card. So the card, they're not going to be using the card anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you see the bill, they're basically done.
Mm.
The damage has been done already.
Wow. And yeah. Now, share some more about protecting us from identity theft. So also, some of the things would be to contact Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and to go through your stuff if you have anything on there. There's also credit repair people. Make sure that they're reputable.
First of all, there are credit repair people, but there are a lot of things that you can do to repair your credit yourself, which we will get into. But before that, one of the things also that you should be doing, a tip, is to make sure that you are checking your credit every year. You know, running a report, you can have a free report. I think you can go to freecreditreport.com. You can get a free credit report from all three agencies. Annually for free, so that you see what's actually on your credit. So if there are things that are not on your credit, I mean, if there are things that are on your credit that shouldn't be, if you use a credit repair company, they're not all good or honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I have had a real challenge with most credit repair people. In my case, I have always sent letters to the credit agencies to fix the things that I know have not been there. So, for instance, let's say there's a credit card on your account that you know that you never owned. It was never yours. You never had it. You never signed up for it. And you see that it has like an open balance and it's something that's hurting your credit.
Okay.
If you write a letter to the whatever. Now, the agencies don't all report the same thing all the time. So that's why you need to have reports pulled from all three agencies so that you see what's on their report. So then you would write a letter to the agency stating, you know, that this is not your account, you never had this account, you never applied for this account, and that this is a mistake on their records. And they will go back and they will check. And if, in fact, it is a mistake, they will remove it. There are many errors on credit reports. This is a very valuable thing that you can do. You can literally change your credit score 40, 50, 60 points easily doing this kind of stuff. Easily. You know, so it's a great thing to do. It's important. And here's the thing. It's about being aware. It's about being proactive and making sure that you know what's going on with your credit just in the same way that you know what's going on with the ins and outs of your money.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I've got these tingles because this is really I feel people getting nervous here.
Well, you know what? Fraud and identity theft are scary things because they seem so much bigger than we are. You know, it's like you're dealing with big credit agencies. That's kind of scary. You know, you're dealing with your credit. That's kind of scary. And here's the thing. If you don't deal with your credit, it's going to end up costing you. I want you to think about, you know, if you have a good credit score, when you apply for credit cards, home mortgages, credit lines, any type of debt service, you get a much better rate the better score you have on your credit. So you're going to be paying higher interest if your credit is bad. If your credit is good, you'll be paying less interest, but if your credit is great, you're going to be paying the least amount of interest. So even for car loans and car leases, so, you know, you may be thinking, oh, well, I don't have a house. It's no big deal. Or I don't really have any new credit cards. It's no big deal. I pay my credit cards off every month. Okay, if you lease a car, it's going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that, you know, most people that own businesses lease cars. So that's why I use that as an example because it's a prime example of where somebody could end up spending more money than they need to because they have poor credit because they weren't proactive with maintaining their credit.
Right. Do you know what the statistic is in the United States, if you haven't already said, how many people's credit not get, it's not about just the identity theft, it's about understanding how to work your credit. Do you know how many Americans, let's talk about America, how many Americans are struggling due to credit, period?
I have no idea. I don't know those kinds
of statistics. I would say it's probably like 80%.
Well, it's a high number for sure. I mean, I don't know if that's the number, but I mean, I will say that most people do not really know how to take care of their credit or their identity. And because of it, their credit is a lot lower than it should be or that it could be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree. I'm trying to find the answer for it here.
I don't know the answer. Look, I don't want to give statistics I don't know about. I do know the fraud statistics because the FBI actually gave me that information. So that's actually very valid information. And look, $6 billion a year is a lot of money. So a lot of people are getting hit hard with fraud.
Right, right. It's just too, I'm not sure why we have come to this mindset that we can take from others, but that's another show in itself, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Okay, so because this is Valentine's Day, Mia, do you want to talk about, you know, the sweetheart fraud?
Yes.
That's going
sure.
on the web, because I think that this is actually a really appropriate topic for the day, which I didn't think about when we were talking about what we're going to talk about today. But really, if you think about it, oh my God, this is so prime, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so how long do we have to talk about this? Because this is a really important thing.
You can talk, honey.
Okay, so sweetheart fraud, what happens is a lot of times you'll start communicating with somebody online and you don't really know who the person is. And somehow or another, in one way, shape, or form, they either get you to send them money, to feel sorry for them, to buy, you know, to invest in something that they recommend or, you know, or something of that nature and end up letting money go to somebody that you may be interested in online who you actually never met in person.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden this person is, you know, in dire straits or some type of dilemma that is, you know, that they need this and they need money immediately and you have to send it to them and now you're so emotionally attached to them that you're going through and you're sending and you're doing whatever it is you need to do because you want to make sure this person is okay, right? You don't want anything bad to happen to this person because you now have feelings for this person. You are invested in this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you come to find out, you know, weeks, months, or even years later, and I do say even years because sometimes this can go on for that kind of period of time, that this person defrauded you and you will never get this money back. You know, everything that they sent you didn't mean anything and basically all they did was trick you. And that can be extremely devastating to people. I know that it has happened to me and it was devastating when it happened. I was like, oh my God, I can't even believe. And me working in the money field, the fact that that happened to me is shocking. But the point is, this can happen to anybody. So I think that it's really important that people understand what's going on out there so that they can do everything that they can to protect themselves. And that's the whole thing is, once again, about being proactive and not just jumping in blindly to things, right?
Right, right. You know, this sweetheart swindle thing is also very similar to, well, it's not similar in the way that somebody is, but it does happen with the elderly. You know, that we've seen that happen for the last 25 years. It's been very prominent, people coming in and taking things that don't belong to them. So we don't want to as you know, as a love activist in my life, besides in my business world, you know, I have a heart-based business. It's not about closing off and about shutting down, because that would change who we are as humans. That would change our reality. But it is about, as you're saying, it is about being smart. It's about being wise. And these sweetheart ones, so to speak, that happened to me too. I'm not sure how many people, until they get savvy, how many people it will happen to. I remember it happened 10 years ago when I was first dating. And, you know, I met somebody that ended off going to work in Africa, you know, and I missed him by a day. You know, I wasn't available mm-hmm. the day he wanted to have our first date. So it does happen. And you're right, it can go on for a while. But it doesn't mean that we need to turn off our kindness and our generosity and our support of who we naturally are. But it
right.
does mean we need to be smart and to feel more into things and ask questions and don't give your money away. I remember going to, this is so funny, because I remember going to Western Union and them saying
yep.
to me, do you know this person? Have you met this person? Do you know this person? And, you know, that was a big indicator right there, like, you know, red lights flashing. So it seems like there's a lot of help out there to move out of this situation, but, you know, these situations, but we need to first lay the foundation of awareness for people. So
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, look, you can avoid this, but you have to, you know, that's the whole thing. You have to know it exists. If you don't know it exists, right. it's easier to happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not only that, so, around, you know, any holiday, like during around any holiday time, especially Christmas, there's more fraud than ever. So, you know, be aware of, especially aware of what's going on with your bank accounts over the Christmas holidays. That's a huge mm-hmm. time for fraud.
That's interesting, because that, you know, the meaning of Christmas is supposed to be about the Christ and about the gift of giving. And if you can't have it, you make something, you know. It's not about taking from others. It just seems like such an oxymoron to me. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that, you know.
I know, but if you think about it like this, okay, the average person charges more and spends more money on different kinds of items in November, December than probably any other time of the year, just because they're buying so many gifts. So mm-hmm. if you think about it, that would be the time when it would be easy for somebody to defraud you, much more
yeah.
easy than at a time when you're not spending that much money on those type
right.
of items.
There's a lot of activity coming in and out of
yeah,
your account.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
what they're doing is, when you're confused, that's the good time for them to step in and grab their money.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's really the, you just said it, lay a layer of confusion, and which is really the way any artist, con artist, thief would do it, is lay the layer of confusion so that they could get away with what they want. So the same with the elderly, the same with the sweetheart swindles, all of that.
Right.
The layer of confusion is being placed so that somebody can get what they want. Yeah,
exactly.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it's a heavy topic, but you know what? To me, like, I feel like we could help so many people if they just really do these steps that we're talking about here. I think that this is such a huge thing. It's such a big thing, and it affects so many people that I just feel like it's such an important topic. I think it's so important for people to really understand that this does exist, and you don't need to be paranoid. You just need to be on top of things.
That's right. That's right. Wonderful. So regarding identity theft again, do mm-hmm. you want to recap or do you want to share some more info? Because this is
so okay. So let's recap on identity theft, of what you should be doing to protect your identity, okay? And basically, your identity is your name and your social. This is the attachment between your name and your social. So if something, you know, so basically, one of the things that you can do is monitor your credit every year. Make sure that you're getting credit reporting from all three agencies. Go to freecreditreport.com to do that. And then make sure that you have your credit accounts locked with all three agencies. Nobody can open up any credit cards or any type of debt instrument in your name when your credit is locked, okay? And the way that they do it is they password protect it, okay? And then the other thing that you can do is to monitor all your accounts and just make sure. The other thing, Google Alerts is a good thing for your identity, because if something's going on the web, you know, you may be able to pick something up on a Google alert. You never know. You just don't know. Right. You know what I mean? It's, hey, it's all good stuff. So all of those things are really great to do for identity. Then there's LifeLock, okay? This is the last tip, is to get a LifeLock account. And I would not get the least expensive account. I would get the middle account, because the middle account basically monitors you, your person, as well as your social. So that's what you want monitored, is you, your person, and your social. And it's not that expensive. I don't know. It's like, I don't know, less than $25 a month. To me, that's a great source of protection to have. For that kind of money, it's worth it.
That is.
It's like a no-brainer.
So regarding, right. So would these also be for our business as well? See, you do big things like you work on embezzlement cases and that kind of stuff. So that's an identity. That's a theft in itself, too. How would people make themselves safe in their business for, you know, again,
from embezzlement
money? Yes.
Okay, so that's a good thing. Let's talk about embezzlement, because embezzlement is another form of fraud. Usually embezzlement is internally done. And what I mean by that, it's usually done by somebody that you know. So I'm going to be honest with you, okay? And I have an accounting business, and I've had an accounting business for 25 years. Bookkeepers have had a bad name because there have been a few bad ones that have embezzled money from their clients, okay? The reason that this can happen is if you do not have a checks and balances system in place, and we're going to talk about what that is. If you have a business, you need to have a checks and balances system in place. What that means is, if you have somebody that's overseeing the finances in your business, there has to be one aspect that they do not get involved in. Like, for instance, I'm going to give you an example. If you have somebody who's cutting the checks, that should not be the same person who is making all the deposits or collecting the money that is going to be deposited. Okay? So that person can reconcile the bank, but you should not have the same person collecting the money, depositing the money as the person that's cutting the checks and reconciling the bank. And the reason for that is, if one person is doing all of those things, they can, let's say, divert funds. So let's say there's a check made out to you, okay, and all you have to do is put your stamp on it and sign it over to somebody else. So if I'm collecting money on one of my clients' behalves, I can just stamp their stamp on the deposit and then sign it over to me and go and cash the check myself, instead of actually physically depositing it into their bank account. So if you have a bookkeeper, or you have somebody, a CFO, who's on top of things, if they are not the person that's collecting the money and depositing the money, then they're going to notice that this customer still owes money, right? And eventually they're going to call and say, you know, why haven't you paid? And the customer is going to say, but I have, and here's the check number, and, you know, here's the dollar amount, and da-da-da. And then when they research back, they're going to see that basically that check was cashed but never deposited into the bank account where it was supposed to be deposited. So, so that's why you have to have a checks and balances system. The other thing that happens is, when people are not looking at, you know, like, so the business owner is not looking at, like, the money that's going out, A lot of times checks might be written to cash. They might be written to other names and then be getting cashed that are not going to real vendors or real people that should be paid. You know, maybe I'm the bookkeeper and I'm paying my friend John Doe, who's then splitting that money with me. But John Doe isn't a real vendor of my client. So there are different ways that, so that's why even if you have a bookkeeper, even if you have a CFO, even if you have somebody looking over the money in your business, you need to be proactive on that. And it is very, very important. I have seen a lot of money be lost because people weren't proactive. Like I said to you before, the way that we caught some fraud where checks were being duplicated is because I have my clients have it set so that if somebody goes to their bank and tries to cash a check, my client gets a phone call. And when my client got the call, he called me and said, did you cut this check? And I said, no. And that's how we caught the fraud. So the so the guy ended up getting arrested at the bank because it was a whole fraud case. You know, the whole thing was fraud.
Yeah.
And it was like a check for like $3,850. So, you know, this is important stuff. You know, this can happen to you. Everybody is vulnerable. Right. But you can protect yourself. You know, this is why you have to have a checks and balances system. And you don't, and that you need to know what's going on in your bank accounts. Because even in your personal accounts, if you have different signers on your accounts, money can be going out that shouldn't be. So you just really need to kind of be on top of things. Look at divorce cases where somebody clears out a bank account all of a sudden.
That happened to me. Sorry, you just threw that. Yeah, one day our accounts were cleared out and closed.
One day there was money and the next day there wasn't. And where the heck did it all go, right?
And it even says on the divorce thing, you can't touch your accounts. But who cares? Nobody pays attention to that. So, yeah, it can be quite a shock. That can be quite a shock. You were talking about the checks and balances. And so for people to have a place to begin, I know what you'd recommend, but I'm going to ask you, what would you recommend for a system to keep all of your records on file?
So, okay, if you have a business, I would recommend using, you know, a piece of software like QuickBooks or having somebody utilize QuickBooks. The other thing is I think that it's really important that you actually have online access to your bank accounts and that you're looking at your bank accounts online. You're looking at what's coming in and what's going out. So that's also important, especially in your business. The other thing is I always try to suggest not to have a lot of auto debits coming out of your account. Those are things that automatically come out of your account every month. So if you're somebody who, you know, likes to have bills on auto pay, instead of having them come out of your bank account, let them be paid on a credit card and just pay that credit card once a month. You know, just pay the credit card off once a month instead of having them directly coming out of your bank account. It's just better not to have, you know, a lot of things auto-debited out of your bank account. And it's an easier way to monitor things and to know, you know, what's happening in your bank account. A lot of times when things are being auto-debited, you may not have money there all the time for those things. But they're automatically coming out, and you're not thinking about it because you're in your business doing your daily life and not realizing that $800 is coming out tomorrow that you don't have in the bank.
And then what that does is it throws everything off, and you start getting enormous bank fees, right?
You know, bounced check fees are, you know, anywhere from like $25 to $35, depending on the bank.
They're insane.
So
right.
That can get expensive. So if you're not monitoring your accounts and you don't keep a lot of money in there, you could be incurring expenses that you shouldn't have to incur because you're not watching what's going on.
Right. Very, very smart. And
interesting,
you know what's
stuff
really
when you manage your money, right?
It is. And when you look at, like, say, QuickBooks, and you put your stuff in there, and you could have one even for your personal account, it's interesting to see where it goes. You know, we're not aware of things until we actually are seeing them. And I know that this is slightly off topic, but people might understand why. We absorb things through our eyes, visual, and also through the hearing. So when we're able to see it, it settles into our brain differently than us just trying to calculate it out and keeping track. It's the same way, and we'll be talking about business in a few minutes, but it's the same way with a business. If you know the structure of your business and it's laid out in a chart and you know that you have all of these levels within your business, you feel more powerful and your business can grow because you know where you're going with it. So
exactly.
I like the fact that I really like this because I've peeked over your shoulders, you know, in the office and I've seen some stuff and it's scary what, you know, some of the cases you're working on because it's really amazing how people could actually, like you said, and it just coming from a banking background years ago, when you said that there were triplicates and you know, four checks, same numbers being used, I couldn't believe that because that just one raised havoc. And also it's a red flag for an audit or theft, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's not a red flag for an audit, but what it's a red flag for is something's going on that's fishy. Like, why do you have the same check numbers so basically you have two checks with the same number written to two different people for two different dollar amounts. What would be the purpose of that really? The only purpose of that is to create confusion. So because I happen to be working on this case right now, one of the big things that I've seen is that this person knew what he was doing. He was creating a continuous, constant confusion between many different bank accounts so that finding the money trail, you know, is a challenge. And this guy knew what he was doing. So not everybody understands, you know, the back end of finances so well like that. But if somebody does, you know, they really know what to do. And this guy really knew what he was doing. And so the biggest thing is that he was able to create enough confusion to be able to siphon out millions of dollars over several bank accounts. You know, it wasn't like $1 million from one bank account. It was money from a lot of different bank accounts. And the way that he did it is by creating confusion, and eventually that confusion would end up in his bank account.
Mm-hmm. That confusion.
That's right. Like the results of that confusion would end up in his bank account and then get cashed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, this takes me to the thought of on the business side, and I know that you're well informed about this area too. So let's both talk about business. And people are afraid to share their work to bring their business into a big light. And when we started talking about the identity theft, mm-hmm. it brought me into the realization that this is one of the biggest things as a business mentor coach that I find with people. They're afraid to step forward. They're afraid that their stuff is going to be stolen. So let's talk about this because there is no reason for people to be so fearful about their work if they take steps to protect it, right?
Right, right.
Okay. All right. So one of the biggest fears is, especially with the online businesses, is having people's stuff taken. Now, we've seen, and Bonnie and I are little investigators, and we've seen other sites that are obviously taken from, you know what I mean? They're plagiarized. They're taken from somebody else's site. So what you need, the thing that I tell people about the most is don't be afraid of somebody stealing your work, because if your work is who you are, one, nobody can shine as bright as you with it. And two, if we do have it online on our website, on articles that we're writing about the industry that we're in, things like that, we're getting our work out there. This is important to do because it's time-coded, it's day-stamped on the internet. It can be discovered whose proprietary system it was first. So there really is no fear. I say put your stuff out there as big and bold as you can so that it is trackable, so that you are found. I felt this way about being fearful when I first started. And my online coaching business years ago, not this business one, but on the relationship love work that I do, I did have work stolen from me, actually from a doctor, a psychiatrist, PhD that I grew up with, that I was girlfriends with. She came to one of my events. I taught her some methods, and she ended up teaching her clients without giving me credit for it. So
I just want to make it clear so that I understand, because if I'm not completely clear, might not be either. So okay. What you're saying is that you created something. Was it a course or a writing, article? It could be
a
YouTube video, right? Anything, right?
Yeah. Right,
and
exactly.
You gave out information, and then somebody gave out the same exact information, stating that it was their research. Like they
Correct.
Didn't even
Correct.
Put you, they didn't footnote you anywhere.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And that's happened a couple of times with me. So
and this is not, it was this on anything that was copyrighted or trademarked?
It wasn't. So we were going to get into that in a minute too.
Okay.
It was when I first started out. And so,
okay.
The thing is if we write about it, if we copyright our stuff, if we trademark them according to what the process is for that exact thing that we're trying to get out there, and if we also write about it, that's a safe way too. In the meantime, you can still write about your stuff and get it out into the internet. Write books on it. There is so much self-publishing now that if you wrote a book, say in 1994 about a certain topic, and then somebody plagiarized it in 2000, well, it's already in print, as proof. So my point is, don't be afraid to put your stuff out there, because I know, Bonnie, you're really hip on and up to date on this stuff too about copywriting and trademarking. It is important to have that. A lot of people can't afford that at first because it does cost to have things trademarked and copyrighted. So if you are afraid of losing your stuff, but you still want to be able to get attention, things sold, clients coming through your business, make sure that it's on your website. Make sure that you do hop on, and I'm going to give you a plus side for this. When you do write about things in your business, it's very important because that also motivates your business going forward. Bonnie.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit. Okay, so I don't know that much about copywriting, but I do want to talk a little bit about trademarking, because I think that this is important that people understand. I think that there is a big misnomer of what trademarking something actually does for you, okay? And because I have a client who has numerous people that I have one client in particular that has numerous people that violate his trademark. I want to talk about what having a trademark does do for you and what it doesn't do, because I think that there is a big misnomer that you are automatically protected if you have a trademark, okay? So, for instance, I have a logo and a name for a product. My name of my product is Sex Butter, and I have a logo, and I have that trademarked so that if anybody tries to use the name Sex Butter for the purposes, for specific purposes that I'm intending the use for, that basically I could go after them. What it doesn't do, it doesn't mean that you're not going to incur legal fees to be able to do that. And you cannot recover legal fees on somebody who's violating your trademark. So if you go ahead, let's say you have a trademark and somebody violates your trademark and you get an attorney involved, and first they write a letter, telling them, to cease and desist, and they don't, and then you have to go into like a legal battle, you could end up incurring a lot of expenses that you will never get back. So you have to decide how important it is to protect that trademark for you. You know, and it can cost a lot of money. One of my clients spent over $75,000 and that was in defending just one case. And then he had another one where it was like 25 or 30. And he said after he did it like three times, he said, you know what? If they violate, I'm just going to have the lawyer write the cease and desist, and that's it. I'm not going to take it any further, no matter what, because it can get expensive.
Mm-hmm.
When we get a trademark, we think that we are really being protected. We're really not. That's the sad part. It's not really the true protection that we're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better than That's nothing.
Right. That's right. And so a trademark, it will protect your brands, your names, your logos.
But it's not a guaranteed protection. It basically gives you the right to be able to fight to protect your name. That's what it gives you.
Well, like, there was a company that started using the word Lay's. It was a very similar. I remember this was like in the media, like, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago. And so they were trying to use the Lay's logo similar, you know, so that people would buy their product. And it was a huge, huge thing that went to court and, you know, cease and desist and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, you know, the bigger company wanted any damages paid. So it can be very messy to utilize somebody else's, you know, trademarks. And also like a patent. See, people don't understand this. And a patent is for an invention. Do you have a patent on your sex butter? Isn't that a type of an invention? I mean, it's not a vacuum cleaner or something like that, but it is something that supports, you know, women.
Right. So basically, yeah. So if you have a formula so here's the thing about a patent. It's like a mixed bag. And the reason it's a mixed bag is this. If you have something proprietary or secret about your product or service that you don't want exposed, then if you're going to get a patent on it, you're going to have to expose that. And that means that exposure is going to be in writing for anybody to be able to see. So I'm going to give you an example. Coca-Cola does not have a patent on their formula. And the reason that they don't is because they have a secret that they don't want to share.
Mm-hmm. That it cleans toilet bowls. That was said in a very loving way, Coca-Cola.
Right. And eats the lining of your stomach. No problem. But you know what I mean. So here's the thing. I'm not telling you not to get a patent. I'm not telling you not to trademark something. What I'm saying to you is, it is not a guaranteed protection. So you need to be informed, right? Because when you're informed, then you're empowered so that you can make a decision on whether that would be something of value for you.
Right. Wonderful. And then we went briefly over and didn't get to talk about the copyrights. That's a legal right created by the law to protect a specific product that you created, but it's also for a limited time, or most likely for a limited time.
Yeah, so like a lot of times they'll use that, like if you create a script, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for a movie or a TV show or things like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people would copyright something like that, which will be protected for a time period. And that actually is easier probably to protect than a trademark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all very interesting because people really do. There's so much information out there, and there's just so much information out there that little bits and pieces get people confused. So this goes back again to the fear that we feel, just like the identity theft in money or in our business. It takes us back to the fear of things. So we are really big promoters, Bonnie and I, are very big promoters, just like a lot of business people, of having the right mindset moving forward. And it just came to me to talk to you about mindset right now. And it's just for a brief moment here, and we'll have another show on it down the road as we move into this program. you know, each week as we create it. But having the right mindset that supports you to stay out of fear, out of your limitations, out of feeling the scarcity that a lot of people feel is what will make you a strong business person. So yep. Work on your fears that seem to be weighing you down. How do you do that? You have to look at them. You have to see where the origins come from. The origins generally come from our belief system, as we all really know when we dig this stuff apart, and that starts from our early childhood. So it's easy, now that you guys got that little clue, it's easy to step in and to look at things. It's a constant, just like a football player or a ballerina or an incredible musician. It's a constant practice. So the stronger you shape your mind, the better your business will be, the happier your life will be, and the more organized you are overall. It's just a constant. And you're really awesome. A big promoter of mindset as well. So did you want to put anything, share anything?
Well, I think, you know what, I think that's going to be the topic for our next show next week, because that's okay. A big topic, and I think that that's what we're going to be talking about next week. So if you want to learn more about the mindset of overcoming fear, that's what we are going to be talking about next week.
I love that. Yeah. And so that will be, for many people, the beginning, the stepping stone of understanding what it's like to actually be the controller of your life. People like Napoleon Hill, the Carnegies, all these people who have been doing this forever have been practicing mindset. You'll find it in their books. So with that, Bonnie and I both want to thank you all for joining us. Was there one more quick thing you wanted to say? Because we're off the air in just a few.
Nope, but we will see you next week.